on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the promise that we have in you, Lord, and we will rise when you call our name, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated, brother.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Today is Father's Day, and we're celebrating fathers. Almost like we would celebrate our mothers on Mother's Day, except fathers don't usually get all the big blowout stuff happening with it, which is fine. Mothers are priority in that. I will say that with it. And I'm not just saying that because my wife's sitting here either. I would say it, which is not. So. But today is Father's Day, and we want to celebrate our fathers. Now, your father might be gone. I pray you'll remember him. You might be here this morning, and you didn't have a good father. Kind of like what I shared with on Mother's Day about the fact that there are people here that might not have had a good father. And I'm sorry for that. But God is our ultimate father. And just like we sang beautiful songs about it, he's our father with that. And that's what one thing we have to keep in mind. But as we do celebrate this day, Father's Day, I like to give a little history of it, just like I did Mother's Day. Father's Day started back in the 1900s, the early 1900s. In 1910, a Sonora Smart Dobb, a young woman from Spokane, Washington, proposed a National Father's Day. She wanted to do something to honor her father, a Civil War veteran who was a widower and raised his six children alone. So in June 19, 1910, they had the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington. Now, in 1966, Lyndon B. Johnson issued a proclamation recognizing Father's Day, but in 1972, Richard Nixon actually signed it into law as a national holiday observance of Father's Day. Now, for a long time in my life, I was just celebrating my father. But in the year 2000, I was able to celebrate it on the other side with it, to be a father. And one thing I want to share with you about is this. As we go into this study this morning, when we look at this father in the Bible, I remember we were up in Northwest Association. I was the manager for the camp up there in Eudora, Mississippi, outside Hernando. And my wife was expecting our son right there. And we'd actually already had a miscarriage before that. Anyway, I remember praying to God and I asked God. I said, Lord, I want my children to be a better Christian than I thought about being. And God said, then you need to tighten up. You need to tighten yourself up. They will be there, but they're going to have you to do it. And I want to say that this morning, to share that, because what we're going to see in Joseph this morning, we're going to see those characteristics that all fathers and grandfathers need to have. Now, I know Joseph is usually the only time we ever talk about Joseph around Christmas. And when we do talk about him, he gets kind of overshadowed and overlooked by Mary and the birth of Jesus, rightfully so. I understand that. But this morning I want to look at Joseph because he was a father. He was the father of the Savior, earthly father for the Savior. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us much about Joseph. But in these scriptures we're going to see this morning, we're going to see glimpses of His character right there. We're going to see glimpses of His character that, again, we as fathers and even grandfathers must reciprocate as well to our family and the world around us. Now, through the scriptures, we do know that Joseph was a carpenter. The Greek term for that is tecton, and is actually an artisan of wood, or it could be iron or stone. But during that time, wood was a popular skill and actually kind of looked up to, because a lot of people did not have those skills. So Joseph was a carpenter with it. And also, according to tradition, it's believed he passed away before Jesus' public ministry began. We don't know when. We don't know why or what happened. But we do not see him anymore. Matter of fact, when we get to the scriptures right there, actually in Luke, right, you won't see him anymore after that with it. So we're going to get started in the scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now we know, again, we know this from Christmas time, but again, remember, we're focusing on Joseph this morning. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So it says Mary was betrothed or espoused. According to Jewish law, they were legally married. They actually had exchanging of rings, jewelry, valuables, whatever. A ceremony had taken place. But normally, the bride would stay at her home for at least another year until the husband would come get her and take her to be home with him. So they were not together with that until the husband would come get her. That's Jewish law. That's the way they would do things. And we see it here, what Matthew says. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Matthew was writing this after the fact. After the fact. We're not told how Joseph found out. Actually, Mary could have told him. A friend could have told him. We're not told that, actually. But Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. Naturally, he would have thought she was unfaithful. Matter of fact, we're going to see that in the next verse. I mean, imagine, like I said, Matthew puts in there by the Holy Spirit, and we understand that because we're reading about it. We know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But let's go in the real life terms. At the moment when it was happening, and there's Joseph standing there, and he finds out that his betrothed wife was pregnant. I believe that probably took him back a little bit. It wasn't me on it. And he was human like all of us. So it took him back a little bit. And that's why we see verse 19. It says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Now, you see that word righteous man. That does not mean he was perfect or sinless. It meant that he believed in God and he followed the law the best he could in his life, which they had the Torah, or the Mosaic law, during that time. And that's what it means, because the other versions say right there as well that he was a just man, a faithful to the law. But we see a characteristic here besides believing in God and obeying Him and trying to follow Him. We also see that he was really kind of kind and self-sacrificing. Because here he is, he just found out that his bride was pregnant. Now, he had not been with her. And according to Jewish law, divorce must take place. Why? Because she had been unfaithful. And according to Jewish law at that time, a divorce can be very public. or it could be very private. And when it gets very public, more than likely the outcome would come to the fact that she would be stoned to death. But we see Joseph right there not wanting to disgrace her, even though he had a legal right to divorce her and embarrass her and do whatever he wanted to do right there, make a public shame on her. But he chose not to. I believe that's because of him being a righteous man, him following God, believing in God. That characteristic is coming out in him right there with it. As I said, I see him being gracious and compassionate, even though he had every right by the law to put her out in front of everybody and say, stone her. That Mosaic law would say that. Matter of fact, you can go and read that. It talks about that. But also look at another part of his characteristic right there in verse 20. But when he had considered this, I want to stop for that part right there. But when he considered this, you see, I believe Joseph was a man of reflection. He thought through things before just acting on a whim right there. In other words, he didn't just jump to a decision immediately, but he stopped. And I'm pretty sure at that moment in time, actually, God kind of beat him to it, but he was going to consult God in this matter. But God beat him to it by bringing the angel. But he was processing this, thinking about it. Fathers, we have to do the same. We don't need an instant knee-jerk reaction to things. We need to stop and process. Now, if there's an emergency situation going on, by all means, you got to take care of that. But I'm talking about a situation that might come up in our life. As a father, we must think about it and not do a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what Joseph was doing. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now I read all that scripture right there, but we're going to go back and look at some parts of it still with it. But I read it all just because of the honor of the scripture, what it's talking about. But you notice what the angel called him, son of David. He was in the lineage of David. Again, that's prophecy with it. And again, as I bring it out to say, Joseph did not jump to any decision, but he pursued what was right in thinking about it, following God. And let's see what happens here in verse 24. And Joseph woke up from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We see not only did Joseph believe in God, believe in his word, follow his word, but he was obedient to God. If you notice right there, it says, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded. In other words, he didn't question it anymore. He didn't think about it anymore. He just did what the Lord called him to do. And actually, we're going to see a lot more of that characteristic come out in that. And fathers, guess what? When God calls us to do something, we need to do it. We need to do it. Joseph did it right there. He heard the angel. Now, people want to debate over it about it says he awoke, so it must have been a dream. It doesn't matter. God speaks to anybody and everybody any way he wants to, through dreams, through visions, out loud. We know that actually through Paul. He could speak to anybody and however he wants to. Here he was speaking to Joseph. That's the point of it. It's not the matter of how, it's the matter of who. And he was speaking to Joseph, and Joseph listened to him. and did what he said and took Mary and became his wife right there. And then he followed on through with it to name Jesus, which brings us into the next passage right there in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 right there. Now, things have passed with it, and we'll see this, these glimpses of Joseph again. And again, I say this, these glimpses of his character, he believed in God, humble, he cared deeply about obeying God, I believe, with that. Again, his actions demonstrate of his listening to God. I don't know how much I can emphasize that to men. Because sometimes we don't listen, do we? Ooh, I'll pull my toes in on that myself. Sometimes we don't listen. But I'll say this, sometimes men, when listening to God and acting in faith, we're like what James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, sometimes our actions speak louder than words. And I believe that with Joseph in that. And here's what it says. Now when they had gone, this is Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had gone, this is the Magi had left. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I'll call my son. So here the angel of the Lord comes back to Joseph and says, get up and leave. Get up and leave. What does Joseph do? He doesn't question. He just does, again, obedience to God. Men, we must obey God before we obey anybody else. I'm not downplaying. I'm not going to get in trouble now. I'm not downplaying the wife. Obey your wife, yes. I know how to say yes, dear, and I'm sorry. But we got to obey God. And I'm not leaving you out, ladies, either. Because guess what? You fit this shoe too. You need to obey God first. And in doing that with it, you obey Him and you follow through what He says. And that's what Joseph did. While it was still night, they fled to Egypt. So God was using Joseph here again in his faithfulness to follow Him, to help keep Jesus safe. Let's go over into the other passage of Scripture here. Luke chapter 2. And then we all know about this. We all know about the birth of Jesus through Luke 2. But right now I want to look at some verses. This is actually Luke 2, 21 through 24. And again, we will see how Joseph believes in God and is faithful to follow God's word. Look what it says. And when the 8 days had passed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, are two young pigeons. Here we see Joseph leading his family, again, doing what the Word of God says, being obedient. The 8th day, Jesus is circumcised, and he is dedicated to the Lord because he was the firstborn son, and an offering was given in that. So I say that to say, we see glimpses of his character that we as men and we as women must replicate as well in obeying God and also in His Word, trusting His Word, and knowing His Word. You can't know something unless you read it. We must spend time in it. We see another example here of Joseph and Mary as well keeping the law. Skip down here to the other verse in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Stop right there for a second. Every year his parents would go. That was their custom. Why? Because the law of God said so. His faith, his belief in God, and his obedience. They would bring Jesus. And it says right there with it in verse 42, and when he became 12, so this had been going on year after year, they went up there according to the custom of the feast, and was as they were returning after spending a full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Stop on that one right there. Here they were again following their routine that they do of what God had told them to do, taking him to observe the Passover. Guess what, man? That what church. Coming to church. Too many times, though, I see mama coming with the kids and the men aren't here. That kind of speaks for itself, I believe, where their priorities lie. Priorities should be in honoring God, obeying God, and being at church. Now, I know there are people that work. I understand that. But why do I see so many out on a golf course then? Deer hunters. And I'm a deer hunter. But I don't hunt on Sunday. I don't do that. Even though it might be a beautiful day and I see a big buck in the backyard, I won't hunt on Sunday. Because Sunday is for God. Every day is for Him, but Sunday church, coming to church and being that example to our children as well. Now, if you're sick, that's a different story on it. I understand that. But here they were doing this, been doing this for years. And a lot of people want to point a finger right there now. How could they lose their son? They were in a caravan. Lots of people, lots of family. And guess what? We know how times have changed. How many of y'all could remember just going throughout the neighborhood by yourself on a bike or whatever, walking? No parent around. I remember that. I was able to do that. Well, guess what? They would go travel in other places. They would have family with them. They would just, the kids would be with kids. So they just assumed Jesus was with them. So you can't sit there and point a finger that they're being bad parents in that. They wouldn't. They just assumed Jesus was going to be there because it's kind of like what you said when daddy calls right there, you jump. You get up there. Let's go. Time to go. Load the car. You want to be there because you did not want to be tardy with daddy on that. So here they're looking for him. In 3 days, they find him in the temple. And going forward in the scripture, it says, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you're looking for me? Did you not know that I'll be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued to be subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Stop on that verse. Again, they were doing what God had told them to do. And Joseph was right there with it, leading. And as it says, they were anxiously looking for him. And when Jesus spoke these words right there about being at his father's house or his father's business, they didn't quite understand it either. Because remember, he's only 12 years old. They were still trying to grasp everything on that. And it says they did not understand the statement. But look what he does. He goes back with them, and in the NASB says, and in subjection to them. Means he was following what they were telling. And we see what happens in the result. In verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. How did he learn these things? That's the question I ask. How did Jesus learn these things? Now granted, I understand he was God's son. He was fully God and fully man. But he also learned from his earthly father. And that's why I chose to look at Joseph this morning with that. Because you see, Joseph was chosen to be Jesus' earthly father, providing protection and guidance in his early years. Though Jesus was not biologically his son, Joseph raised him as his own. We see that. Even when he knew at the start Jesus would not be from his blood, he still obeyed God in raising Jesus and trusting him. You see, Joseph was just an ordinary man, like us, whom God used in an extraordinary way, in that he was the earthly father of our Savior. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God calls each and every one of us from different walks of life to serve Him. To serve Him in His kingdom work. Whether you are walking through a daily life of faithfulness like Joseph was, the carpenter, or in other ways, the fact is that God has called all of us, to play a role in His plan on this earth. Again, now we're focusing on fathers today, but mothers, same way. God has called you. But because it is Father's Day, I like to focus on us with it. You see, we as fathers are called to serve God in His plan as a father. We're called to serve. And like I said at the start, the Bible doesn't give a lot of details about Joseph. As a matter of fact, if you notice, there are no words recorded that Joseph said. There's no word. We've not heard Joseph say anything with it. But through these glimpses in the Scripture, we can see this, that he faithfully obeyed God. He was humble. He honored others. Remember, he had an opportunity to dishonor, discredit, shame Mary. But he didn't. He showed mercy. He took responsibility. And in all that, I could probably say this, that he probably worked hard for his family in that. Because it would show that he would pack his family up in the middle of the night to get them out of harm's way with it. That shows Joseph's faithfulness to God. And the same for you and me. You see, that's important in our life, to be faithful in our own lives towards God. See, that's what I shared at the very start. When I asked God, Lord, I want my children to be better Christians than I ever thought about being. And God said, okay, your faith has to grow. You have to be faithful to me at all cost. And even when it's challenging, we're to follow God and pay attention and obey Him. We see that in Joseph's life. I want to ask you a question today, fathers, and everyone. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you have faith in God and Jesus? And there's a step farther with it. See, you can say you believe but not have faith. We heard that. You can see that all around. Well, I believe in God, but they don't have faith. Joseph had faith. Not only did he believe, but he had faith. You and I have to be the same way. As a believer, do you consult God in every matter? In other words, any situation, every situation that comes up in life, do you stop and ask God for guidance? Well, this is a little bitty thing. It don't matter. No, it does matter to God. He's our perfect Father, and He is aware of everything in our life, and He wants to be a part of everything in our life, except for the bad stuff, except for sin. But He's right there. He wants to hear from us. Even in the little matters, consult with Him. And like I like to say this, think through things before acting. As Joseph considered the thought of what he was going to do, same for us. We must consider how God would handle this situation. And that's in everything. Fathers, do you put family first? Do you put your family first? Again, our Father in heaven did. Matter of fact, we studied that, John 3:16. He put us first in His life. How about you? Do you put your family first in life? Or do other things take priority? Now again, I know there can be work situations that happen. I'm aware of that. Well, I'm talking about other areas of your life. Today there might be a father here who has done his best actually to lead his family to the Lord. He's kind of followed in those examples that we've given, those characteristics of Joseph. But there might be a child in his life that has drifted off. You know, that has drifted away from God. I want to say to you this morning, that's where your faith must hold and stay strong. Because guess what? Even though that child might have been saved at a young age and now they've drifted away from God, what you can do right now is hold to God. Keep that faith in Him with it. Pray for them. Continue to point them to God in that. And again, hold to that faith in Him. And trust God to hold to His promise, which He will, that says He will never leave nor forsake. I know of fathers that have actually shared that with me before about their children. Now that they're grown, they've kind of gone on their own way. And they've said, all I can do is pray for them right now. And I said, that's right. You just continue to pray for them. And you have faith in God because He will not let you down. He will not let you down. Now, anybody on earth will let us down. I let my family down. I've let my children down. You're the same way. None of us are perfect, but God is. And He'll never let us down in that. And we have to trust Him. That's why I say to fathers and mothers, that's where your faith has to hold to say, God, I trust them in You, and continue that way. There might be somebody here who, like I said at the start, had a bad father. No good. The old saying would be, deadbeat, whatever you want to call it. And I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry for that. But I want to say this. God told us to honor our father and mother. He didn't say, oh, honor them only if they're good. And I know that's tough. But also Jesus said, how many times should I forgive somebody? 70 times 70? That kind of goes in line with that. We can't change who our parents were. The thing is, God's not so concerned on them as He is about you and how you react and how you handle things. And you, He's asking you to honor them. You might be estranged from your father. I haven't talked to him in years. Maybe today you ought to just give him a call. Give him a call. And maybe he ought to hear these words. Dad, I know you wasn't really good with things. But I want you to know that in God I forgive you. And that's not so much on him. That's for you. That's why God said, honor thy father and thy mother. That's why it's on us. Yeah, my father let me down on things. My mother, the same way with stuff. But they were still my parents. They're still my mother. She's in heaven, but my father's still alive. He's still my dad with it. And I have to honor him because God told me to. And in obeying God, in being that example for my children, I must show that God is first in my life. Even though it's tough, like I said, today you need to honor. This is the day set aside, one day out of the year. Just pick up that phone and call him. And just talk to him. That's it. That's what God said. We're going to have an invitation today and this morning. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. You might be here and you're not saved. Today, God's talking to you and He's asking you today to come forward and believe in Him. I'll be down front. I will pray with you. You might be here, you're a believer, and you have had that bad parent, and you're struggling with what I just talked about. Come forward, and I'll pray with you over that. I'm serious. I'll pray with you that God will give you that strength to honor, even though that person never honored you. Right there. I'll pray with you. You might be here, and you want to join this church. Today, God's saying, do it. Obey Him. Follow Him. Don't put it off. Whatever you do today, it's between you and God. And that's what I'm challenging you this morning with. It's between you and Him. We're going to have that time of invitation. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then that invitation is between you and God. No one else. If you want to come to this altar, you come kneel. Come and I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you, pray with you this morning. But it's between you and God this morning. Let us stand and we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now. And I thank you for this day. I thank you again for this opportunity you've given us to gather into your house and worship you. Beautiful hymns and praises to your name, Father. You are our true Father right now, God. We know that and understand that. If there's someone here who doesn't know you, God, I pray they'll come to that knowledge right now and believe in you and accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's someone here who is struggling with their dad, I pray, God, that you would give them the strength and courage and give them that trust to say, I'm with you. Do what I've asked you to do. Whatever it is this morning, God, you be glorified. We pray it in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Jack.
The hymn of invitation is I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
We're going to sing one more verse, but I want everybody to just bow your head, close your eyes, and you just talk to God this morning. Just talk to Him. Thank Him for your Father. If He's gone to be with the Lord, thank Him. Right there, if you're still here, thank Him. Again, thank your Heavenly Father for everything that He's done for you and what He's doing for you and what He's going to do for you. Brother Jack, one more verse.
All to Jesus I surrender. Hide me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Roddy, for a reminder of what Dad needs to be. On the matter of the Good Shepherd Community Center, the urgent need was Cindy McCarley, the director, put out a need that they were having trouble financially making payroll week to week. So that was why we wanted to do it immediately for this week. If you need or want to have the urge to support the community center, please give your money to the church and we will make sure it gets to the appropriate place. If you want to just do it on your own, you can go visit the community center and Miss McCarley will more than happy give you a tour and show you what they do. As far as the Eagle Lake trip this weekend, again, if you need a ride, let us know. Let me know, Billy know, one of the deacons, Jeannie at the office. We will get you there and get you home safely. Anybody else got anything else? Baby bottles are due today. All right. Jack?
All right. Well, let's think about His love this week, our Father's love, as we leave this place today. Think about His love.
Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Have a blessed Father's Day.